water, but thank God for that he had the living water. And I'm glad that, you know, you find out who, you know, Bible says a lot about tares and wheat, and we're not, it ain't our job to try to figure out who's a tear and a wheat. But I tell you, as child of God, you're exactly right. This Bible is our final authority. And I'm glad. That's why when you have disputes, when you have disagreements and you're both Christians, it ain't hard to get it right. You can just say, we might both be wrong, we might both, somebody might be right. But we just said it by the word of God. I just thought about it. And I'm thankful for that. And we're going to be in Psalm 73. And if you all fall asleep, don't blame yourself. You just come wake me up, okay? And it said, truly God is good to Israel, even to such of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride compasseth them about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish. They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning the oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. Therefore his people return hither, and waters of a full cup are wrung out to them. And they say, how doth God know, and is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then understood I their end. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down into destruction. How are they brought into desolation? As in a moment they are utterly consumed with terrors. As a dream when one awaketh, so, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. Thus my heart was grieved. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. So foolish was I and ignorant, I was as a beast before thee. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon the earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God. that I may declare all thy works. Lord, I pray tonight, Lord, I pray you to me. I love being in church, but I sure enjoy Sunday nights. I enjoy Sunday nights. You know, Hebrews 10:25 says, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves as some are, especially as you see, even more so as you see that day approaching. That day's coming. The Lord's coming back. I tell you, I enjoy being gathered together with the church. And that happens to be in the sanctuary. And I'm glad we can come here and we can get help. I'm glad we can leave here and be encouraged, be lifted up. And I want to tell you, little Asa found help in God's house. I want to, in this whole psalm, you see a progression of Asaph. He's obviously going through a struggle. He's seeing these people that are living wicked, ungodly lives, totally contrary to his word and his will, and they're prospering. And he's faithful. He's obviously walking with God, and he's frustrated. And I'm telling you, sometimes we can get frustrated. I want us to see. I want us look how he starts out here. He says, "Truly, God is good to Israel." Truly, God, he knows. It ain't like he don't know. Obviously, he knows that God is good to his people.
Amen.
I'm glad that his eyes are exactly, his mind is, he's frustrated, but his heart knows, but he's being real. And sometimes we need to be real.
Amen.
So he knew the truth. He knew God was good.
Right.
He knew he was somebody he could depend on, somebody that don't leave him. He knew that God keeps his promises. Oh. And I want us to see that here's some truth. He knew truth. He brought a here's truth we can stand on. He might not have knew everything, but obviously he knew where God brought him from. And I'm gonna tell you where he brought us from. If you're saved tonight, say amen.
Amen.
Hey, if you love the word of God, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. I'm about to tell you where we came from. We came from a horrible pit.
Amen.
In this horrible pit, nothing was heard. Bible says, if you regard iniquity in your heart, the Lord will not hear you. I'm telling you, before you saved, the Lord wasn't going to hear you. The only prayer he would have heard is exactly the prayer he heard the moment you got saved. So this pit was couldn't be heard. But I also want to see that he pulled us out of the miry clay.
Amen.
A horrible pit and a miry clay. This miry clay. I got saved at 13. I'm glad I wasn't in that miry clay long. Oh, but I was in there enough to know I needed to get out. Because the longer you stayed in that miry clay, the deeper you sink. There's people out here that are prospering. They're in that miry clay, and they're getting farther and farther away from God. And the longer they stay, the deeper they will sink. It's sin and guilt. And I'm telling you, in this horrible pit, you can't climb yourself out. In this miry clay, you can't pull yourself out. You're unable to save yourself. You can't save yourself. And further away. Hey, I'm glad that he established our going.
Amen.
He pulled us out of a horrible bit, out of miry clay, set us upon a solid rock, and established our going. I tell you, we didn't have goings before Jesus came. Amen. We were on the highway to hell. No brakes. But Jesus came and he reversed our path to bear that cross. We didn't have goings before we had Jesus. But now we got goings. We're fixed firmly. That rock it's not shakable. It's not movable. I know the world tried to hey, you want to know something wicked? I'm just going to be honest with you. I saw this week on Netflix, it came up on Facebook, that they came out with this movie where Jesus was a homosexual. How sick, wicked, disgusting, alive from straight from hell.
Yeah.
He's against that.
Yeah.
He destroyed the same God of the New Testament. The God of the New Testament, he's still the God of the Old Testament. He's the same, never changing. Wicked. That rock is not moving. Not moving, unchanging, and uncompromising. In a world of compromise, we can't be compromising. I want to see four things about Asaph. Number one, the vexing of Asaph. Asaph was clearly frustrated. It says his steps almost slipped. You ever been to that point where you just feel? The other day it was raining now, and I caught my shoe down on my porch steps, and I slipped, and I fell. And actually I had the car seat in one hand. Thank God that the baby was okay. But I fell all the way down. But can I tell you, Asaph's feet almost slipped. You ever had times like that where you'd rather throw your hands up? That you don't want to keep on going. You know who God is. You know what he's done. You have victories that you can stand on. You have a cross that you can look to. And you have a blood that you're covered by. You got answered prayers. Sometimes you don't see God moving. And you drip your feet almost slipped. But he didn't. his eyes were on the wrong thing. He saw a picture of the wicked, of him doing what he was supposed to be doing, what pleased the Lord. And he saw the wicked living contrary to the life, and he saw one suffering and one prospering. His feet almost slipped. But he was obviously walking with God. Hey, when we walk with God, we don't walk alone.
Amen.
I'm glad he's right there. Sometimes when we don't see him, when we don't feel him, most time when we don't hear him, we're not reading our Bible. Can I tell you he ain't giving extra revelation? Can I tell you that if we want to hear from God, if we need our daily bread for that day, I'm telling you, what you need is right in this word.
Yeah.
He's our strength and refuge, our very present help in trouble. I'm Galatians 6:9. And let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Just hold on. Just hold on. Grab a hold of the unmovable Jesus, the unchanging Jesus. Hold on to his word. Hide it in your heart. It'll help you. Hey, I'm going to tell you, it says, we shall reap if we faint not. Well, what are we going to reap? What are we going to reap? Well, I'm going to tell you one thing. We're going to reap eternal value. Hey, man. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. I'm glad. Oh, they might be prospering now. It might seem that they're winning. But I'm glad that they're not winning. They feel like they're winning. But they're not winning. We got a mansion. They might have a mansion down here that's all going to burn up. But I'm glad that my mansion is not going to burn up. I'm glad he's preparing it for me. And I'm going to tell you tonight, heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. I'm telling you, I think God, one day he's coming back. In case you haven't heard recently, Jesus is coming back. Hey, all this is going to be ending. So what did he saw? Well, he saw the wicked prospering. He saw that they had no pain in death. No pain. Look at what he says in verse 4. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. You ever see on Facebook or wherever, RIP, rest in peace, and the person that died, I'm just being honest with you tonight, the person that died, no interest in God, no, always against them, at enmity with them. Look, I'm not talking about no outside appearance. I'm talking about people's attitude towards God. And they pass away. And then you see, rest in peace. Rest in peace. If they die without Christ, there ain't no peace.
Yeah.
They might be laying there peacefully, But when their eyes open, they open in hell. Eternal torment. Praying for just a little bit of water. And they're saying, I wish I would have listened. I wish I would have known. It's all over. No band in their death. They might lay there peacefully, but when they open up their eyes, they're in utter terrors. He saw that their lives are less troubled. Look, I'm telling you, about a little over a year ago, I guess, a deacon at my old church, I think I said this the last time, passed away of cancer. He had been married about 3-4 years. They just had a kid together. The man knew his Bible. And, you know, it's easy. Somebody asked him in the hospital when he was first diagnosed. He said, "Well, how would God allow this to happen?" He said, "Oh no, we're not going there." He said, "God's been too good to me, and what I deserve was hell." He knew his future. I'm glad we have confidence in our future. So the wicked life seemed less trouble. They might have, obviously, the prospering. They got money. Ain't got to worry about bills. Ain't got to worry about how they're going to get their next meal. And worried about how that little one is going to grow up and how one day she's going to leave my house in a world that's dying, and that I got to put it in the Lord's hands, that me and my wife did all that he's asked us to do, all he's guided us to do. Wicked ain't worried about whether the baby's grow up in church. They're not worried about whether the babies get saved. And they're sure not worried. They're less troubled. Look, the things that trouble us tend to be things of eternal value. That means your eyes are on the right thing. Your heart's where it needs to be. He saw them becoming more prideful. You see that today? This world just getting more and more bold. More and more bold. Hey, bro. It was sick when it got passed, and it's even more sick now. But Roe versus Wade, they thought they won the victory. Oh, but it didn't stop there. They got more prideful, and they wanted more. See, this don't stop. It's always more and more. So now they're late-term abortion. Look, I'm telling you, when that baby came out, that was a live baby. And when that baby was conceived, it was a live baby. The wicked are becoming more prideful. And you know what? They weren't being corrected. That can be a trouble for us sometimes. When God corrects us, reproves us, rebukes us, oh no, that ain't comfortable. But it is proof that we're a child of God. Amen. Yeah. Hey, I'm telling you, Joe Smo down the street ain't going to correct my kid. You know why? He don't care about my kid. Yeah. You know who didn't correct my kid? Me and my wife. Yeah. You know why? Because we love that kid. That kid is our child. Hey, I'm telling you that it might not be uncomfortable. It might not be comfortable. It might be uncomfortable. But I'm telling you, the Lord, He's still working on me. I'm glad He's still working on me. Glad He never gave up on me. And He saw them doubting God. Well, you know, does He really know what's going on? Does He really, you know, you get it. Why does God allow this to happen? You know, well, what about the Bible contradicts itself? You know, you get it. You get it. But He knows. He knows what's going on. Look at what the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. His eyes are everywhere. He's not blinded to this. He's not oblivious to this. In fact, He wrote about it before it ever happened. You know, in a newspaper and over in your Bible, when they line up, mother against child, father, you know, family members against each other. Yeah, this stuff was wrote before this stuff came to pass. And that should make us even more confident. Hey, the Lord's coming back. He's close. So we see the vexing of Asaph. He was clearly frustrated. And we see the veracity of Asaph. He had been dealing with this. Look in verse 17. I'm sorry, verse 13. Verily, I cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands. Cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in energy. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. Look what he says. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. This wasn't just a bad day. Obviously, he had been dealing with this. It was something that he was dealing with. And sometimes, look what it said. If I say, I will speak thus. Obviously, he understood that if he would speak that, if he would have just let all this out, it would have wounded those around him. He would have offended that generation. Hey, Asaph was a choir leader. He was a leader. Imagine the stuff. Look, we deal with stuff that nobody knows about. We carry burdens that nobody knows about. Sometimes we want to say some stuff that we No, we can't say. And I'm going to tell you something. Your pastor here, he's a leader. He's the under-shepherd of this church. You don't think he goes through some tough things? I heard Oliver B. Green said one day, he said, God works overtime on preachers. I mean, the ones preaching the word. Imagine this, just put yourself in his shoes. He's a leader. Some of us are leaders. In fact, we're all ambassadors for Jesus Christ. I'd encourage you to pray for your pastor, pray for each other, because sometimes there's stuff on our heart that we know we cannot speak because it will not be edifying for other people. And this is exactly where Asaph was here. He was considering others. You ever get like that where you something's painful and you just gotta kind of go through it? You're not alone. You got Jesus, but sometimes you want to tell somebody, but you know you really can't. That's pretty important. Considering others. He was considering others. He was in a painful situation, but feeling like he had to bear it alone. So we see the vexing of Asaph, the veracity of Asaph. But I want to tell you about the victory of Asaph. Hey, Asaph won victory. Verse 17 says, listen to this. I'm glad we're in the sanctuary. Hey, I've read something about, you know, sanctuary is getting along with God. And hey, let me tell you, it is here. Look, you could have stayed at home tonight. You could have stayed at home. It's raining. But you came here. And look in verse 17. It says, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end. He won victory. He won victory. And where did he get it? In the sanctuary. He got it in the house of God. How many times you got here and said, Lord, I need something. Lord, I need you. A couple of weeks ago, I need something every time I go. But you know, there's those times where you're like, Lord, I cannot figure it out. Lord, I can't get this off my chest. I can't. I just need it. You ever came down to nothing and said, Lord, I just need you to do something. Maybe walking in the church has said, Lord, I just need you tonight. And the preacher gets up and preaches exactly what you need. And he said, Lord, thank you. And someone preached the truth. Hey, the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly perishing. Somebody preached, and he understood their end. Hey, Asaph didn't hear, become a better you. He didn't hear sugar-coated preaching. And I'm sure, look, I'm telling you that people now, they don't want to hear about hell. They don't want to hear about sin. They don't want to hear what their condition is. They don't want to hear that they're condemned. But I'm telling you, Asaph got help. Somebody preached. They said, the way of the ungodly perishes. Asaph heard that they had an end. Asaph got help, but I'm sure somebody got up the ladder. I'm sure somebody got in the car on the way home and ran down the preacher all the way to the house with their kids in the back seat. And then 20 years down the road, they want to know why their kids are out of church, don't want nothing to do with God, don't want nothing to do with the Bible. They want to know. It's because Asaph got help from the preaching of God's word that they rejected and ran down all the way down the road. Asaph got victory in the sanctuary. Hey, verse 19 said, how are they brought into desolation as in a moment they are utterly consumed with terrors? Hey, their ice is melting. Their ice is melting. You know, that ice can be firm. When it starts melting, it starts crackling. Their good life. Oh, let me tell you, they might have a good life here, but that's it. It's temporary. And one day we'll be turned to terror. Number four, I want to see the vision of Asaph. So we see the vexing of Asaph, we see the veracity of Asaph, the victory of Asaph, but I want us to see the vision of Asaph. At the beginning of this, Asaph was... He got his eyes off Jesus. What happened to Peter when he got his eyes off Jesus? He started to sink. But I'm glad if you read down, it said Jesus was right there to pick him back up. Hey, I want you to see here. I love what he says here. He says in verse 23. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Oh, this whole time, God never left him. He's never left God. They're together. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel. He had expectations from God. Obviously, he was renewed. A revival. He guided him with the counsel. Counsel of God is his Bible. Obviously, he got help from this word. He had expectations from God. Sometimes when we pray, let's be honest, sometimes we don't pray expecting God to answer our prayers. Do we have expectation? Look, he got a new vision, and I said this morning, we're going to enter 2020. And we need to enter 2020 with clear vision. 2020 vision. Yet, and it was not based on feelings, based on facts. He who had begun a good work in you shall finish it. That's an expectation. What you're going through today, it will be a victory tomorrow. And he knew he had a home of glory. He had riches stored above. God was his strength to keep his heart right. And he no longer had doubts. Look what he says. He says, my flesh and my heart faileth, but God is my strength. But God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. He knew who he said, I have put my trust in the Lord. He put his confidence in the Lord. Where's your confidence tonight? Can you hold on to something God's given you? And then he knew that he was going to bring glory to God. He was going to be a mouthpiece for the goodness of God. Hey, what God's done for you, let people know about it. Don't hide it under a bushel. He is a promise keeper, and he's proven over and over that he keeps his, he can be trusted. Amen.